This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Saturday, October 12, 2024. Votive Mass of the Blessed Virgin Mary by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, that of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Generally on the Saturdays of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we and should contemplate specific things that our Blessed Mother, characteristics that she has, favors that God has shown her. But every now and then to step back and think, and this is more of a Saint Bernard of Clairvaux meditation, to be overwhelmed by the totality of the circumstances with the Blessed Virgin Mary. When you look at the Blessed Virgin Mary and you look at all these characteristics that she has and all the ways that she's presented to us, it is really tremendously overwhelming to think about who she is and the rationale for the veneration of the Blessed Virgin Mary. You look at it at the gospel accounts of the Blessed Virgin, and we learn more from, we don't know, you hear a lot of people, particularly non-Catholics, we don't know a whole lot about the Blessed Virgin Mary. We don't know a whole lot about, we know a tremendous amount about her just by the anecdotes that we receive about our Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, when our Lord is lost in the temple for 3 days, the Blessed Mother and St. Joseph go about for 3 days searching for him anxiously, as the scriptures say. And when she finds him, she looks at him. And it is one of those times when I say, when we look at details, what is said, and to think about the words here. When she said, "Son, why hast thou dealt so with us?" To whom is she speaking? I mean, so we had the Annunciation of the angel, right? The Archangel Gabriel comes down and now the one that is formed shall be called holy, the Son of God. She's talking to God and she says, "Son, why have you treated us this way?" Just that word, the first word, "Son." If you just hit that and just read, you're okay, yeah, because she's his mother and it's his son. Think about it in the concept of to whom she is speaking. The second person of the divine Trinity, eternal Son of God, the one who's incarnate in flesh, who's come down, the Messiah, Son. The angels in heaven around the throne room of God 24/7, the seraphim, holy, holy, holy. The angels do him service. Their function, the seraphim, these the ones that are closest to God, all they do is worship God from time immemorial until time will never end. They worship him, and the Blessed Mother looks at him and goes, "Son," just like your mom would look at you and say the same thing. This should really overwhelm us as to who this woman is, what her position is before God. Mary called the Lord that the angels worship, Son. Which angel would dare? Which angel would you think in heaven, which seraphim, the closest to God, which one of them would dare look at the second person of the Trinity and use the word Son? Nobody but the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary knows herself to be his mother, and she knows who he is. And if that's the concept, to give her fiat. We look at her fiat and we think about, oh yeah, she just turned her whole life over to God, which is absolutely true. She did this. But when we look at what she did and what it did for her, what responsibility was she taking upon herself? The majesty from on high comes down. And again, the angels served him with awe for all eternity. And this one who angels serve and His Majesty did not hesitate to make Himself subject to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So what we're looking at here is not just the Blessed Virgin Mary, but what God did in relation to her. And He was subject to them. She calls Him Son. You know, that should like put us like right at the precipice of this is unfathomable that a human being would call God their son. But then she's going to get, why have you treated us like this? It's not a chastisement. It's an overwhelming sense of, I'm sure, relief for one thing, but then an overwhelming sense of the responsibility. And even at the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph, coming to the conclusion that there are going to be things. I mean, if you lose your kid for 3 days, the cops are generally going to get on you, right? Why? You didn't pay attention. You didn't do that. So, you know, they were not malfeasant in any way, shape, or form. Our Lord, basically, you should have known that I had to be about my Father's business. And then He was subject to them. Those are the last words we have in the whole account. And he was subject to them. It's inconceivable. It's inconceivable that God is subject to St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is probably, for all accounts, probably 15 or 16 years old. And God was subject. I mean, at this time He's 12, she's 15, so she's in her late 20s, maybe? And God is subject to her? You know, you really think about the social context back in those days of the place of women. And God was subject to them. God was subject to a woman. God being subject to any man, any king that existed at the time, for God to be subject to that. God, who the angels are subject to Him, and who the principalities and powers of heaven obey, was subject to Mary. How overwhelming should this be? But again, this is not looking at the Blessed Virgin Mary, because again, your non-Catholic friends look at it. You think too much about her. No, we don't. We think about what God thought of her. If God Almighty Himself made Himself subject to the Blessed Virgin Mary, should we not venerate her? We do, of course, we know we do not worship her, but we venerate her. She should be venerated more than any living being that has ever been created. This is the reality of who the Blessed Virgin Mary is. And again, we look at this in its totality. We look at her motherhood. She is the mother of God, Theotokos, the God-bearer. The one, like it said in our prayers, the one whom the universe cannot contain lay hid in her womb. Overwhelming, the motherhood of God. How exalted that title is, you know, and how much veneration should be given a creature that could be called the mother of God. An exaltation, but then we also emphasize her lowliness. Be it unto me according to thy word. Her complete just handing over of herself to God. He has regarded the lowliness of His handmaiden. These contrasts, the exalted motherhood, mother of God, her abasement, her lowliness, her absolute giving over. She absolutely subjects herself to God in the most profound of ways, more than anyone ever has. And then God, in turn, is subject to her. How these things work out. This is what I'm talking about, why we do these on Saturdays. The Saturdays, first Saturday particularly, all the Marian feast days. What exaltation God has shown her. At the end of the scriptures, Revelation, again, another thing, we read it sounds so ethereal. It sounds so transcendent. In heaven, there was a great sign. The woman clothed with the sun. There is no accident in scripture. There are no words that are used to just fill space or to sound churchy. You think about that for a second. A woman clothed with the sun. Again, transcendent indeed, unfathomable. We can't look at the sun. Don't look at the sun for more than a couple seconds, okay? Well, you can't, all right? Why? Because it'll injure your eyes. When it is in this apocalyptic literature, this woman, this one who bore God, is clothed with the sun, S-U-N, because the sun, S-O-N, indwells her womb. These are the things that you just got to ponder. We should be doing that because of this Blessed Virgin Mary, who we're talking about. She pondered many things in her heart. She didn't understand them here. She did after she was assumed body and soul into heaven. Then she understood. And she understands now. This is why she is such a glorious and powerful intercessor for us. But this woman who's clothed with the sun is the same one who stood before the cross and, by our Lord's own words, was given charge over us in the person of St. John, who represented us at the foot of the cross, her people. Behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. This is whom we behold, this one who is mother. So it's not a matter of, and again, and we should, and we have to break it down, think about these specific incidents and specific characteristics, but to step back every now and then, and when somebody would question the veneration of the Blessed Virgin Mary, you think about all these things together. You put them all together. All these things being considered as to who she is, and everything she is because of what God thought of her. So if God thinks that much of her, how much are we? God Almighty himself became subject to her. And we got people who want to complain about our veneration of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because we say the words of Scripture. We say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. These words from Scripture are the words that the Holy Spirit has given us to give to her. And you got people who complain about it. I had a person one time actually say those words to me. We don't say that prayer. I said, what other parts of Scripture don't you pray? I mean, this is the reality of who the Blessed Virgin Mary is. She is everything because of what God did for her. You know, we got to marvel at her condescension to God, but that's only second to the marveling that we do, the condescension of God, by making himself take on flesh and lay hid in her womb and then be subject to her. Marvel at God's condescension or Mary's condescension. Which one is greater? Which one is greater? Of course, it's God, his condescension to us, but Mary's cooperation with that condescension in an exact manner is an example for us. I mean, if she did what she did at God's behest, all he asks of us is to live a life of faith and obedience. He didn't ask you to give your entire life over. He doesn't ask you to condescend to him like that, to turn everything over, or to be it unto me according to thy word. We ponder that every now and then, that petition in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. It's a scary thing for us. It was even more scary for her, and she did it. This is what we should marvel at. We should marvel at both God and the Blessed Mother's condescension. God is subject to a woman, or a woman should rule over God. You think about that. When we use those words, again, you read the part of Scripture and you think, was subject to them. What does that mean? If someone is subject to you, you rule over them. To use our terminology, you're the boss of them. Think about that for a second. The Blessed Virgin Mary ruled God. It's not a concept. It's not a concept. It's not a construct that we come up with, try to take this and take it. This is what he said. This is what the Holy Spirit tells us. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, was subject to her. She ruled over him. This is overwhelming. This is overwhelming, and this is the one whom we venerate today and whom we should venerate every day of our lives. This is God, both his condescension to us and in the person of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our condescension to him. We just need to get with the program and do our very, very small part when she's done her very large. In the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.